In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A wise man once said, God's desire to save us is far greater than our own desire to be saved. Think about this. If you put it another way, our desire to be and abide with our Creator now and for eternity is hot and cold, and let's face it, oftentimes it's lukewarm. I mean, sure, we all want to go to heaven. Who doesn't? But the problem is there's just so many other things we want as well. Things that distract us from abiding with God and the life that He would have us live. On the other hand, God is immutable. He doesn't change. He isn't fleeting. He doesn't waver in His desire and decide, well, maybe I want this person. Maybe I don't know. No, He is not like this at all. He is constant and continuous. His commitment to the salvation of man is unquestionable. So great is His love for us that He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. And even now, He works to bring men to this knowledge of this finished redemption. We learn this truth throughout Scripture, that God is at work bringing people, calling men to Himself. And we learn this in this morning's text as well. His word reveals this desire, as I say, over and over. But here we especially see it when Christ sends out the 72. The setting of the passage is that this is near the end of Christ's ministry, and He has set His face like flint towards Jerusalem. He is determined to go, even though He knows what awaits Him: suffering, death, and the end of His time here on this earth. So the days are few, and yet there's so many in Israel who hadn't had a chance to hear, let alone believe in Him and receive Him as the Messiah and God's promised Savior. It's true, there were a lot of people waiting for the Messiah. The problem is they just didn't think a guy like Jesus could possibly be Him. They waited for the kingdom of God, but they needed to be told that now, since His appearance in the flesh, the kingdom was near. They needed to hear that at that moment, in the person of Christ Jesus, God was at work among them. Jesus had done something like this once before. He sent out previously the 12 to inform Israel of the news. Now He expands the missionary effort to the 72. Two by two, they went out into all Israel with this message: the kingdom of God has come near to you. The simple message was to be accompanied with miraculous healings, and whenever people asked what this meant, they could tell them, Jesus has come with power from on high. He is the one, the true Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. Trust in Him. There's a tone of urgency throughout this passage. His earthly ministry is coming to its close. He's going to Jerusalem to die, to offer His life as atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. And because the time is short, He casts the net farther and wider by sending these 72 disciples to proclaim good news. This missionary journey offered Israel one last chance, a final opportunity to see their king. Let them come now before it is too late. We note the urgency again in the instructions He gives. The disciples are about the king's business, and His business requires haste. He's eager for many to hear, so He instructs them to travel light so they can be swift and preach the gospel to many. They must not unduly antagonize people. They must be courteous, but not waste time on mere social formalities. They should expect that the people to whom they preach will supply their needs, but they must not expect more than they need. He promises to bless their work and the people who receive their message. But He also tells them to expect opposition. I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves, He says. And still they're not to be afraid. He will not fail them, for His power and protection goes with them. And in fact, all who hear them will hear Him. He also pronounces a dreadful curse on those who will not receive His word. Those who reject the disciples are rejecting the one who sent them. Though the disciples will not carry out the curse, rest assured, He tells them, it will all be sorted out in the end. The terrible sentence that fell on those ancient cities that despised God's word and rejected His prophets, this is a guarantee that those who reject Him now will not escape the wrath of God. If anything, He promises it'll be worse for those who hear the good news and reject. For those who refuse His kind invitation are throwing away the only opportunity and only hope of salvation. They will not be exalted to heaven. They will be brought down to hell. The 72 went out, and they returned, full of rejoicing. Not even the demons could withstand them. The harvest was plentiful, the response to the word great. Indeed, it seemed like a time for celebration, but not so fast, warns Jesus. This sort of work is far from over. It must continue. Many have yet to hear and believe. Christ will continue to guide them and promises the demons will not harm them, nor serpents or scorpions employed by the enemy. Nothing shall hurt you, he says. But the excitement regarding this power over demons is misplaced. This isn't the greatest thing. This isn't worth celebrating. Rather, their joy should be over this, that your names are written in heaven. In our day, the setting is different, and yet so much is the same. The mission is still urgent. There's only so much time before night comes. The messengers of Christ still go forth. We still proclaim the message. We say the kingdom of God has come. God entered the world in Christ. He is the world's only Savior. His blood cleanses us of all sin. His resurrection defeated death. Repent, therefore, and receive what he has done for you. Even now, he's present and working. Listen to him. Hear his word, for it is spirit and it is life. Shut out the noise of the world. Listen to him who died and rose for you, for your salvation. His body and his blood is given to you for your forgiveness, for your strengthening. Take it, eat and drink and be refreshed in him, for the time is short. He's coming soon to judge the world and make all things new. He'll come like a thief in the night, and the old foe death is ever at hand, so be ready. There is not endless time. Do not delay. That's the message. It's beautiful and it's urgent. And Christians have shared this from the beginning. And how do we respond to it? How do people respond to it? Well, are they inspired by the message? Yes, some are. Do people recognize Christ's ambassadors as workers of the King? Yes, some do. And while many receive them, many more do not. They pass them by with neglect. They ignore the message. Even if they suspect that there's maybe some truth to this and someday I ought to look into it, they tell themselves, when I just have more time, maybe. The ancient blessing of salvation still attends this message, but so does the curse. So you see now the urgency of this call? To those of us who have heard and believed, we're not content to just rejoice ourselves and relax. Yes, we're thankful. Thanks be to God. Our sins are forgiven. Our names are written in heaven. But there's work to do. The mission of Christ continues, and we are to take part in it. The harvest is still plentiful, and the workers still so few. But what can we do about it? Well, what did Jesus say? Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Pray for laborers and support those who labor. And when possible, become a laborer, each in his own sphere, in his or her own way, in our homes, our neighborhoods, wherever we find those lost sheep who do not know the Lord's redemption in Jesus Christ. Work's difficult. There's still many who don't want to hear it. There are still wolves seeking to destroy us. But take heart. Christ's words still stand. Nothing shall hurt you. The word of God still slays demons, and you do not go forth in your own power, but with the power of the one who earnestly desires all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He's on our side, and he rejoices in heaven along with all the angels over one sinner who repents. He even rejoices over you. For you believe and are saved through Jesus Christ. He's brought you to this faith that receives his salvation, and he will also keep you in this faith. He won't forget about you or forsake you when you are weak, but he will strengthen and uphold you. For his desire for your salvation is even greater than your desire to be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.